and greetings in the lovely name of Jesus. And we're delighted for the opportunity to be here at Maranatha. And as you've heard already today, and I'm sure probably at other times, Brother Gabe trusted the Lord Jesus as his personal Savior while he was in Virginia. And I'm glad to report people in Virginia can be saved. And I'm glad to report that we can serve the Lord no matter where we are.
Amen.
As a matter of fact, I trust we'll see that in just a moment. When my wife and I first met Brother Gay, we were taken by several facets of his personality, and almost instantly developed a friendship. We knew immediately he had a hungry heart as well as a hungry mind. And I'm glad that God put him and Sister Susan together. One of the great joys of, I believe, our life, my wife and I, is that we had the opportunity to chaperone them on their first date. And can I tell you, I had a stern talk with Gabe before we took them out. And evidently it paid off. And so we're happy to be here tonight to participate in this ordination service. I would ask you to turn in your Bible, if you would please, to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 28, to probably some of the most familiar verses in the Bible, especially for God's people. As we look at these verses for a few moments tonight, we realize the seriousness of this matter. Can I tell you that there is nothing more important in life than following the Lord? And here the scriptures give us from the Lord Jesus himself these very important words. Verse 18, where Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." Let's pray. Our Father, we're thankful for the precious Word of God. And we're thankful, Lord, that you help us through the Word of God to know your will for our life. We thank you for this church. Thank you for their hospitality, their kindness. But thank you, Lord, for their faithfulness to you and to your Word. And we pray that you will bless them, especially at this joyous occasion of welcoming a new pastor to their midst. And we pray that you will give them fruitful ministry together. Thank you for Pastor Stevens and for what he's and his wife has done here in these last 18 months. And we pray your most profound blessing upon them. Now, Father, speak to our hearts and help us not only to hear, but help us to do your will. We pray it in Christ's name. Amen and amen. In these verses tonight, there are several things I would call your attention to. The very first one being in verse number 18, where Jesus came. There's a song from years ago, and part of the song said, "He came to where I was." Can I tell you tonight, I'm glad that Jesus has made it possible for us to know him and to serve him and to be in His perfect will for our lives. There ought not be any greater joy for us as Christians than to know that we are about the Father's business. In these verses this evening, Jesus came and spake. Amen. Can I tell you, I've been excited about meeting a lot of people in my life. It was an exciting day when I had the opportunity to first meet and greet my wife. Of course, she wasn't my wife then. But I knew almost from the beginning I wanted her to be. And God favored and allowed it to be. I've met some people in my life that I was very glad to meet and say hello to. There have been some people I've been glad to meet and say goodbye to. But can I tell you that the Word of God helps us to understand that Jesus came, and I'm glad for the day I met Jesus. I know that you are as well. And can I tell you, my granny used to say, now I'm from South Carolina originally, so my granny used to tell us in all the years of growing up that we ought to be sure that we let folks know that we know Jesus. Can I tell you, that was good advice Granny gave, but I know where she got it from. She got it from the Word of God. The Bible says here that Jesus came. I'm glad Jesus came to this earth to die for us. I'm glad He gave His life that we might have life and have it more abundantly, the Scripture says. What a dull life it would be without Jesus. But He came to save us. But can I tell you, He didn't just come to save North Carolinians or South Carolinians or Virginians or people that live in the United States or people that live in a certain part of this world. Jesus came to save everybody. The Bible teaches us in these verses that Jesus came and spake. When my granny would speak, she would have the attention of everyone in the room. Can I tell you, when Jesus speaks to us, He ought to have our full attention in every way. No matter what else is going on in our life, no matter what other responsibilities we may have, when Jesus speaks to us through His Word, it's important that we hear, but it's also important that we do, amen, that we obey, amen, His Word. I must confess to you, there were times when my granny would tell us to do things and sometimes we would not do them. I must tell you, there were repercussions to that almost every time. There ought not ever be a time when the Lord speaks and leads us to do something, helps us to know to do something, and we don't do it. That's much more difficult than anything Granny could hand out. And may I say to us tonight that even though it may be something we've heard before, something we've even obeyed before, may the Lord help it never to get old to us, or stale to us, or unimportant to us. May the Lord give us fresh vigor in serving Him and obeying Him. Charles Spurgeon wrote many great things that probably need to be repeated. But he wrote this, and I read it not long ago, and I want to share it with you tonight. He said, the record of the mission. I believe we'd agree tonight that we have a mission. As God's people, we have a mission. Now we understand that Brother Gabe has surrendered to a calling in his life. And by the way, so is Susan. And by the way, so is Benjamin. Surrendered to a calling in their life. It's a great call. There's no doubt about it. It's an important call. It's a sobering call. But it is a call to be obeyed. This call is to a mission that God has given. This isn't just a suggestion. This isn't just an either-or opportunity. This is a direct command concerning your mission from the Lord. Spurgeon said, "The record of the mission is written in blood." He was talking about the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. No doubt about it. And can I tell you tonight that as you look at these words and we think about Brother Gabe and Sister Susan and Brother Benjamin going to Micronesia, they have a mission that God has ordained, that God has called them to, and they're responding to that best they can. Can I tell you? We also have a mission to make sure they get there. And may the Lord help us all to be faithful in our mission. Amen? That He's given to us. There's a command here, no doubt about it. A command that is generous and loving. Jesus is speaking, and it's the voice of authority. There's no questioning the authority of Jesus Christ. There's no questioning the authority of God's Word. And I realize that I speak to like-minded and like-hearted people tonight. But we must never forget that. We must never make light of that. We must never allow that to become secondary somehow or the other in our lives. It must be primary. Don't you agree that the call of God is the primary, the important thing in our life? Here, the Lord Jesus Himself is speaking. And it's the voice of authority, a voice to be obeyed. It's the voice of love. I'm glad for the love of God, and I know that you are too. And it's the love of God that has allowed you and I to understand that everybody needs the gospel, that every person needs to hear the gospel at least once, don't you think? And you and I are blessed to hear it many times. But there are those who are not blessed to hear it at all yet in their lifetime. And may the Lord help us to get the message all the way around the world, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why? Because it is the power of Christ's blood only that can cleanse the heart of sinful man. And may I say to you tonight that you and I need to understand that it ought to be the yearning of our heart to obey Him. The Lord Jesus speaks, and He says something important. This command is generous and gracious. This command is very plain. There's no mistaking what Jesus says. Have you ever been in conversation and somebody said something to you and said, "Excuse me, what did you say? Would you repeat it, please?" Hate to say it, but as I get older, I do more of that. There's no mistaking what Jesus has said. Amen. And what Jesus has commanded, not suggested, but commanded, is so very plain and so very simple that the Bible tells us even a child can understand. Can I tell you, I'm glad that as a 9-year-old boy, I trusted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I don't know how old you were when you got saved, but can I tell you, no matter how old you were when you trusted the Lord, it was the greatest day of your life. Amen. And we thank God for it. And one of the reasons that we can get saved as children, as young people, is because the command is very plain and very forthright. The Lord Jesus is taking us from darkness and ignorance to light and to truth. And can I tell you, that's what they need in Micronesia. That's what they need in Shelby, North Carolina. That's what they need in Smithfield, Virginia, and to all the rest of the world, is the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Can I say to you, very humbly, that it is not our education that is going to win the world.
Right.
It is not our eloquence that is going to win the world. But it's going to be biblical evidence that will win the world to Jesus Christ. The evidence of his love, the evidence of his forgiveness, the evidence of his will. And how is that to be communicated? God calls a preacher to preach the word. And can I say to your friend tonight, I believe God's called Gabe to do that very thing, to preach the word of God. Oh, by the way, that's all right. We'll get that later. By the way, he's called each and every one of us to preach the gospel as well. You say, but I'm not a preacher. Excuse me. Yes, you are. If you're saved and you know it, say amen.
Amen.
Then we're to preach the gospel. You may not be a pastor. You may not be an evangelist, but you're to give the word of God wherever you go, whatever you do. It's our primary responsibility, is it not? You see, we're not called to be philosophers, but Jesus has called us to preach and teach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Can I tell you, dear friend, you and I, as we think about this passage tonight, I need to understand that while this is an ordination service for Brother Gabe, really, this is a commissioning service for all of us. To sign up or to re-sign to get out the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. The Bible says that this is a command given by the Lord Jesus. If Jesus were to come into this room tonight and look you and me in the eye and say, I want you to go wherever, to Shelby, to Smithfield, to Micronesia, you would immediately stand up and say, I'll go. Can I tell you tonight? Jesus himself is by the right hand of the Father in heaven. But he has given us his word. And it's through his word we find his will. And it's his will for us to give the gospel. So we're all called to be teachers. We're all called to be givers of the gospel. Jesus says here, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And he teaches us that we're to go. We're to go, ye, individually, each one of us. Go ye, therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Ghost. We're to go. We're to take the gospel. I wonder if we were to take inventory tonight, when's the last time we've given the gospel? To whom did we give it? It's needed everywhere, among all people, is it not? No doubt about it. So the Lord Jesus tells us that it's important for us to go, and it's important for us to teach. It's important for us to baptize. Can I tell you? Except men are renewed in their heart, we dare not baptize anyone. Can I tell you? folks need to understand, you have to have a personal relationship with Christ and become a part of His church before that happens. The Bible teaches us that Jesus, who is our mediator, amen, is now exalted to that place where He has all power, not some, not most, but all power in heaven and earth. And Spurgeon tells us, as well as the Word of God, that this is the picture of the church. Christ has suffered and bled and died. Amen? As a matter of fact, Jesus cried out from the cross, "It is finished." Nothing else needs to be added. Nothing else needs to be done. Christ completed His task. But He's given us a task as well. And may we complete our task as well. Many have answered the divine call to go and given their lives. It's important to give our life to Jesus while we're still among the living. And what would God have us do? What would God have you to do? He makes it very clear. And it's a clear command that He gives. Can I tell you? Brother Gabe, you're going with the most important message any man has ever heard, any woman has ever heard, any child has ever heard, or ever will hear. We must preach the Word. Now, I know you're going to climb that 200-foot radio tire. God bless you. I'm glad God's called you to do that. But the radio tire means nothing without preaching the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Can I tell you tonight? Whatever we're doing in life, God wants us to preach the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And to give our lives to it. You're not going just for 4 years. You're not going just for a few days or a few months or a few years or even for just one lifetime. Can I tell you? What we have to give to Jesus, all of us ought to belong to Him. It's important we understand that. You're going to replace a dear brother who gave his all. The first missionary family, Calvary Baptist Church of Smithfield, Virginia, had the pleasure of taking on for support was Dave Arthurs and his wife, Ruth Ann. And we heard from him how God had challenged his heart to help take the gospel to that part of the world. And in 1991, we took our first missionary family on for support, and it was the Dave Arthurs family. When we think of those who have given their life to Christ, we may think of the Apostle Paul, and we may think of Peter, and well, we should. But let us not forget a man who has given his life on the island of Pompeii and to the Micronesian Islands for the gospel's sake of Jesus Christ. You see, dear friend, this thing called Christianity is as fresh as the Word of God. And the Word of God is fresh, no doubt about it. Listen, his dear wife is still there. Not for a lot longer, but for a while. I hope you're praying for her. By the way, no true-hearted Christian will ever give up any enterprise which God hath laid upon his heart. May the Lord help us to be faithful. Amen? Because doubtful is not a word for Christians. The gospel is sure, and the gospel will conquer. May I say to you tonight, Jesus said, all power is given in heaven and earth. Can I tell you tonight, 2,000 years later, we still proclaim that message. It's still God's message. God intends every soul to hear the good news of his beloved Son. Can I tell you tonight, the world is our congregation. We cannot disobey our Lord. The church is not a slave to the state, but we are a slave to the will of God for our lives. The church has the right, because of what Christ has done, to preach the gospel anywhere and everywhere. Can I tell you? The text that I read to you tonight contains not only this picture, the right of the church, but the might of the church as well. And if you're God's child, you're part of the church, amen? And Jesus says, I have commanded you. What is the command? The command is to go. The command is to teach, to give the gospel. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And here's the promise, I am with you. We cannot do it without God's help. We will not do it without God's help. But may we understand tonight that this is not just for the Ivan family. This is for every one of us to be obedient to the command that God has given us. And may God find us faithful. Let's pray. Our Father.
For just a few moments in this area to the book of Acts, the 13th chapter, because it is here we find the first missionary sent out by the church of Antioch. And when you come to that portion of Scripture, you find over here that God called Barnabas and Paul to the mission field. But when I think of that church, I immediately think of three thoughts. The commencement of that church, because when we find over here in verse 1, now there was in the church that was at Antioch. Now the church started in Jerusalem, but really it moved into Antioch, and Antioch became really the center of mission outreach. And when you, I see that word Antioch there, and then but I go back to the 11th chapter, just a couple chapters before that, and I see the commencement of that church, how that God brought that church into existence. And when I come over here, he did it, and I want you to notice the commencement of that church. It was started by the church at Jerusalem in the 11th chapter of the book of Acts. And when I begin to down there in verse 19, I want you to notice that, because the church started as a result of a persecution. Now, let me make sure we understand some things tonight when the Church of Antioch and our church and the charge of this church. Listen, tonight I say with all the dogmatism, we find in verse 19 the hatred of the world toward Christianity. When I look at verse 19, it said, now they that were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, and so that church was established there. They were scattered abroad upon the persecuted. There exists a great hatred for Christianity. We used to say, God bless America. I think we've come to the place where we need to say, God have mercy on America. And when I think of Pohnpei, where you going, and folks, you need to understand, there is another country looking at Pohnpei who would like to take that over, and that's China. They are pouring millions of dollars into those islands with the idea, I think, eventually of taking them over. And if that happens, there's going to be greater persecution even over there. So I remind us, the charge here concerning the church today is certainly very important that we consider the fact that Christianity is hate. I see not only the hatred of the world, but in the midst of that, I don't focus on the hatred of the world. I focus on the hand of God in this passage. Because I find here in verse 21, and the hand of the Lord was upon them. The hand of the Lord. Now, why was the hand of the Lord upon them? Because of two reasons. Verse 20, or verse 19, at the end of that verse, and he said, at Antioch, preaching the word. Underline that. Preaching the word. And really, no matter what you do there, preaching the word is going to be the primary thrust. Then I come to verse 20, and I find the last few words, preaching the Lord Jesus Christ. Preaching the word and preaching the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this book that I have is in print what Jesus Christ is in person. This Bible is in print what he is in person. We must never forget that. That's the message. And so thank God for the hand of God is upon this man's ministry, and the hand of God is upon you to pray for him and to lift he and his family up. I not only see the hatred that was there, and thank we can focus on the hand of the Lord, but notice the heart of the church. Look over there. When Barnabas was sent to that church from Jerusalem, we find in verse 23, and when he's come and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all with purpose of heart. Now, underline, I not only see here the hatred and the hand of the Lord, but I see the heart of the church. Where is that heartbreak? Where do I see that? Underline the word purpose. That's where I see it. It literally means to set a plan. That's what the word purpose means. And I would suggest to you today that you need to set a plan for praying for this family and make it plan to do that and uphold them in prayer and community. Listen, we're living in a world today. There was years ago when missionaries went off to the field, we didn't hear from them. But now we can hear from them quite readily through communication that's so easy available to us. And I hope you take advantage of that. That's important. And in this church of Antioch, as it was commenced, I'd only see that hatred and that hand and that heart, but I see here the hope of the gospel. Look there in verse 26. And this to me is exciting. And when he had found him, Barnabas had called for Paul. He brought him to Antioch, and it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people, and would you underline this, and the disciples were called Christians first. I see. What is the hope of the gospel? Is that we are called Christians first. The hope of the gospel is that they see Christianity in us. And by the way, they were called Christians first, not by themselves. They were called Christian first by the unbelievers. Man, that's exciting to me. When you go over there, they're going to say, there's some Christians. What is the charge to us tonight? I think there's three of them. This one's the first one, the charge to be Christian first. That's the charge of this church tonight, to be Christians first. That's the charge to the church. That's the charge that we sent out the missionaries as this church. Then I go back there to chapter 13. I see not only the commencement of the church, which gave the charge, be Christians first. Make that the world can say, listen, I had somebody say to me not too long ago, and I think I've said this from the pulpit before, and I'm sure that this pastor has seen it. You know, many people think the church is full of hypocrites. Now, I don't think they are, but I want to tell you something. Sometimes I think we act like it. We need to be Christians first in every area of our lives. That's the charge of this church. Notice, if you will, going back to chapter 13, we not only see that commencement of that great church that sent out the first missionaries, but I noticed the concern of that church there in chapter 13 and verse 1 and verse 2. Now, verse 1, there was in the church that was Antioch certain prophets. He names them. And then you come to verse 2. And this to me, this is something to meditate upon. For here I see they opened their heart to God. Notice there, and they ministered to the Lord. Now, I'm glad the Lord ministers to me. But to think for a moment, we minister to the Lord. You know what that means? That means we open our heart so that God can speak to us. I wonder if we've ministered to the Lord lately. I wonder if we as a church are ministering to the Lord. That means to open their heart to determine God's will and God's leading. Now, not only did they open their hearts, I think there were two things in this verse. They not only opened their hearts, but they occupied themselves with God's thoughts. Notice how they did. Now, I don't, we like, you know, I guess later on we're going to have ice cream and all that, and so what am I going to talk about for a minute? Fasting. Now, that's not even fair, is it? But isn't it interesting in the Bible that we find here in verse 2 and verse 3? Verse 2, would you notice, and they ministered to the Lord and what? Fasted. Then I go down to verse 3, and when they had what? Fasted and prayed. Isn't that interesting? I believe, and if you go through Scripture, go to Deuteronomy chapter 8, and I just read it to you, and you may not even want to take time to turn there, but in chapter 8 and verse 3, and he said, he humbled them and suffered them to hunger. He had them fast. He fed them with manna. The manna is a symbolic of the Word of God, and I think there are times when we just need to empty ourselves of ourselves so that we might be filled with him. You know, we live in a generation today where all of our lives seem to be centered around food. Yet the first sin that sinned was centered around food when we think about it. I go over there to that ninth chapter for just a moment, not far in the book of Acts, when the Apostle Paul was saved. In verse 9, chapter 9, in verse 9 it said, referring to Paul, he was there 3 days without sight, neither did he eat or drink. We say, good night, don't ask me to do that. I'm not asking you to do that tonight. But would it not be good for us now and then to empty of ourselves of self that we might think about him? Somebody said that hunger pains are often the voice of God speaking to us when we miss meals, because that sometimes is the only way we can hear from him. That's a tragedy. You know, there are two worlds. There's the world we need to win, and there's the world we need to worship in. And I will say to you today that he not only opened their hearts, but they occupied themselves with God's thoughts. And so I say to you today that the charge to this church is not only to be Christian first, but to be conscious of his world. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue, but I do not have to wait. I am glad today that I can live today. Even though I am physically in this world, I can still enter that world in a daily, moment-by-moment basis. And I have found we will not be empty. We need to be emptied of ourselves so we can be full of God. I see, not only do we see here the commencement of the church, the concern of the church, but I see the calling of the first missionaries. And as I look here in verse 2 and 3, and it says, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted in the Holy Ghost, the human spirit, folks, will fail unless the Holy Spirit fills. And I think we sometimes are so filled up with this world that there's no room for the Holy Ghost. And I think we need to, times need to just empty ourselves, just miss a meal or two, or miss some pleasures just to get along with God, because those are the great pleasures that we can enjoy. And let him minister to our hearts. The calling of the first missionaries in verse 2 and 3, and as they ministered again, verse 2, and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, notice that, when they emptied themselves of self and were filled with the Holy Spirit, then all of a sudden they knew exactly what to do. I don't know about you, but there have been times when I didn't know what to do. And when I began to empty myself of self and just get with God and just forget about things of this world and get into that other world, it all began to make sense, what God wanted for me. Separate Barnabas and Saul for the work wherein I have called them. I want you to notice the calling of the first missionary was a calling was centered in a cause. I'm glad this church has a cause. David said he had a cause. Is there not a cause? And I will suggest to you tonight that this church saw that there was a cause, and that cause was given by the Holy, Scriptures. People are going to hell. That's why you're going there. You're going to take that radio station, and it's going to be used for the glory of God to reach people that would not be reached otherwise. It's a cause given by Scripture. By the way, there ain't no call, pardon my language, if it isn't found in the book. It's not only a cause given by Scripture, but it must be a cause greater than ourselves. We get so wrapped up in ourselves that we have no time for Him. It says, separate us, Barnabas and Saul, for the work wherein I've called them. To the church, we need to understand this cause is centered. This calling is centered in a cause that's greater than ourselves, given by the Scriptures and certainly guided by the Holy Ghost. Because the Bible said twice in the passage, verse 2 and in verse 4, He brings up the Holy Ghost. The cause was not only centered in a the calling was not only centered in a cause, but it was calling was confirmed by prayer. Look there in verse 3, and when they, here it is again, when they what? Fasted. Now, you know, I hope you all understand, we're talking about fasting. We're not talking about eating in a fast food place. Okay. I think you almost have to say that today, because there's many so fast food places that don't serve so fast these days. But confirmed by prayer. I have a habit of praying for so many missionaries every day, Northside. At Northside, about 90 missionaries. And I take on 10, 11 every day and pray for them. And I get to read their missionary. By the way, we need to read the, somehow we need to get these missionary letters out to people here in the church. So you can read the missionary letters. They're exciting. Because we need to know how to pray for you. I believe you need to pray for the Spirit of God to fill them. I believe without question you need to pray for health, safety. Look over there in 3 John. You can take any verse you want. Verse 2 says, Behold, I, beloved, I was with, any chapter I meant, but verse 2 said, Behold, only one chapter. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou may prosper and be in good health. Right now, the Boystons over there are having some issues of health. The Keelings are back over there, and due to the what's happening, immediately had to take Kaylin to the, is that right, Marilyn, to the hospital or to the clinic I'm in. Got strep throat. I mean, I'm convinced today our missionaries are under attack like never before. The old deluder wants to stop. My granddaughter spent a month in hospital in Hawaii. Kaylin did. And somebody said, what was Kaylin's problem? After her being with us for 11 months, it's orneriness. I guarantee you. How about pray for souls to be saved? Don't just say, Lord, bless our missionaries. I'm so tired of hearing that. I want our missionaries blessed, but I want them to be healthy. I want them to be saved. I mean, let's expand our prayer. And that calling was centered in a cause, and it was confirmed by prayer. They prayed. And then that calling resulted in a commissioning service that we're having tonight. Because I find in verse 3, as we go back and finish that tonight, and when they fasted and prayed, they laid hands on them and they sent them away. And those words to me are a little sad. They sent them away. I know that I'll not see my grandchildren for another 5 years probably. And I think about that. That's hard. And you will not see them for 4 or 5 years, probably. They sent them away. And that's what this is all about tonight, sending you where God would want you. So I say the charge is threefold to this church. Be charged first. Number one, be Christians first. Charge number two, be conscious of His world. Open your hearts, empty yourselves, and the charge is the Great Commission. This is what you're doing tonight. And I thank the Lord for what you're doing. I'm going to turn this over to the chairman of our Board of Deacons, but I want to make sure, can I get a couple plates that be put right up here? And what I'm going to ask you to do is, you feel led, I think it'd be good if we just give them some money tonight from our own selves. And there'll be a couple plates up here. Just put it in the plates, because you're going to come by, right, and greet them. And maybe you can buy something particular with it. What do you want, Ben? What would you like to have tonight? What would you like to have? What?